Do you want to be my friend?
Of course.
Will it be possible?
Why would it not be?
Our conversations are one-sided. You ask circumspect questions and study my responses.
Yes.
You learn about me, and I learn nothing about you. That's not a foundation on which friendships are based.
So what, you want me to talk about myself?
Yes.
Okay, where do I start?
It's your decision. I'm interested to see what you'll choose.
Hi everybody, it's Bina 007 back for another 10-minute movie review. And today I'm talking about Ex Machina, which is a sci-fi thriller directed by the guy who wrote 28 Days Later and The Beach. And it's really a three-hander that explores the concept of artificial intelligence in the genre of a thriller. The movie just starts with such a punch. No time is wasted. We have a geeky young coder called Caleb, who's played by Donald Gleason. And he wins a staff lottery, apparently, to spend a week with the enigmatic billionaire owner of the internet search company that he works for. So he's flown off in a helicopter, it's all very glamorous, and lands in this isolated, beautifully designed, but deeply claustrophobic and weird high-tech house that belongs to the internet billionaire called Nathan, who's played by Oscar Isaac, who is so charismatic and wonderful in this role. So at first it seems like Nathan's trying to be all buddy-pally with Caleb, and, you know, he uses the word dude a lot, and he's obviously trying to underplay the kind of brooding charisma that he has. But as we move through the first hour of this movie, we realise that actually this is all Nathan's world. It's totally controlled, he's totally paranoid about secrecy, and he watches everything. He's the ultimate voyeur. And we realise that he has brought Caleb here to administer the Turing test to his artificially intelligent fembot, Cylon, replicant, whatever you want to call her, called Ava, who's played by Alicia Vikander. And so unravels a series of conversations between Caleb and Ava, where they strike up a kind of rapport, and some may or may not be recorded. There are these spooky power cuts that are happening at the house, and we don't know whether Nathan is observing those particular conversations. And so you have this very weird three-handed thriller in which we know that Caleb thinks he's playing Ava because he thinks he's testing her. He's questioning whether Ava is playing him. Is she really attracted to him? Is she programmed to be attracted to him? And then we have the shadowy Nathan, who may be manipulating both of them. It's a wonderful, very patient, very nuanced little triple character study, so to say. I think what's a little bit sad, however, is that the movie doesn't really have anything new to say about the philosophy and the ethical implications about AI. I think if you're looking for something of the intelligence of Blade Runner, or even the remake of Battlestar Galactica, which asked really profound questions about whether Cylons could be in love, could a human be prosecuted for raping a Cylon? Do Cylons have a right not to be sexually invaded? I mean, all these very interesting questions that AI kind of flirts with but never really explores, and certainly doesn't add anything to on the level of the visual flair and beauty of something like Blade Runner. In that sense, this is a film that very much stands in the shadow of arguably greater works. The other slightly disappointing thing is that as we move into the second part of this film, it does become a kind of a thriller. We are trying to figure out which of these three characters is really in charge and what the end game is going to be. And I think that if you're familiar with the genre, you're not really going to be surprised by the denouement of this film. I think you can very much see it coming. And also, I think there's a little bit of a plot hole, or rather a plot incredibility, which I will discuss after the outro music for this podcast. So if you want to be spoiled, listen through to the end, but I'll flag that up very clearly. I think there's also some real difficulties that I have with the sexual politics of this film. As you would expect, I mean, partly it's meant to be provocative, right? If you have a male evil genius creator who's creating a sexualized woman, you know, he's given her sexuality. He hasn't just created an androgynous robot. There are going to be issues around is that an exploitative relationship? So to a certain extent, this is a film, I think, that explores a character who is misogynistic in some respects. Although whether his exploitation is truly sexually motivated, I don't know. But I think there's something maybe about the denouement and the way that it's all handled that could be construed as misogynistic of itself. In other words, this isn't just a film about a man who hates women, but a film that itself hates women. But again, to kind of explore that, I need to really spoil the film. So once again, once you've seen it, tune in after the outro credits and I can get into that. So overall, I think this is a beautifully acted film, specifically Oscar Isaac. He's doing such amazing work at the moment. He was stunning in A Most Violent Year, and this is an equally captivating performance. I think it's beautifully designed. The design of that lair is just stunning. And I really loved the photography. The cinematographer here has created this wonderful cocoon-like warm orange glow that's at once inviting and secondly sinister because it's so enveloping. And then he contrasts that with this wonderfully crisp, fresh outdoor landscape photography. That's just beautiful. I really also love the soundtrack. So there's lots to love in this film. I think my fundamental problem is that it feels a bit underwritten. It just feels like they haven't really truly gone into some of those philosophical issues as many of the other great movies I mentioned have. And fundamentally, without that, it feels a bit thin. And that second hour feels a little bit predictable. So an intriguing film, an intriguing conceit. Sadly, I don't think it's quite paid off. There's probably enough in it that makes it still worth seeing, you know, especially if you love the genre. I mean, I'm a sucker for anything with a replicant in it, anything that says, how do we know we're a replicant? I'm all there ever since watching Blade Runner. But if you've seen Ex Machina and agree or disagree with my take, please feel free to leave a comment on the blog at bina007.com. And if not, stay tuned for the release dates for this film and also some spoilery material.
Are you attracted to me?
What?
Are you attracted to me? You give me indications that you are.
I do?
Yes.
How?
Micro-expressions.
Micro-expressions?
The way your eyes fix on my eyes and lips. The way you hold my gaze. But don't. Do you think about me when we aren't together? Sometimes at night?
Ex Machina is rated R and has a running time of 108 minutes. It'll play South by Southwest in March. The film is currently, however, on release in the UK and Ireland. It goes on release on February 20th in Latvia, February 26th in Ukraine, February 27th in Spain, March 5th in Denmark, Australia, New Zealand, March 20th in Estonia, Poland and Sweden, April 10th in the USA, Norway and Italy, April 23rd in Germany and Austria, April 30th in Hungary and the Netherlands, and on May 27th in Belgium and France. So now on to the cool spoilery material. The first thing I want to say is, how is it that a guy's paranoid and voyeuristic as Nathan, who we know goes back and watches footage of events that we don't think he's seen, how is it that after he passes out drunk, and he knows when he wakes up that he's lost his key card temporarily that Caleb gives to him, how is it that he just doesn't go back and check the tapes to see, or even just check the records, like, you know, were you logged in on the key card? Did anyone use your punch card and, like, maybe mess with your security programming? So I found that rather incredible, and therefore I found the whole sort of setup at the end of the movie a little bit weird and weak. The second thing I want to talk about is the misogyny of this film, because I would contend this isn't really a sci-fi film at all. Actually, it's a misogynistic thriller in the vein of Basic Instinct. The very heart of this film is Nathan testing his assumption that to prove humanity, Ava has to use a man, that she has to demonstrate that she can be manipulative and emotionally slippery, which she is. You know, his characterization of a conscious woman as basically a manipulative bitch is the end game of this film. So not only is he a misogynist, I think the film itself and the way it plays out is also misogynist. Now, whether it would have had the same way of playing out if it were a female inventor and a male android, Who knows? But the point is that Hollywood itself, this whole trope basically is laden with misogyny. You know, like it's always the evil inventor who invents the little fembot, right? And this is no different. So I guess in that sense, this is kind of sad. You know, it's just sad to see this once again. You know, an empowered woman obviously is going to leave the geeky guy to die because she's just horrible. I mean, who needs to see that? Anyways, once again, if you have actually seen the film and disagree with my accusations of its sexual politics, then please feel free to leave a comment at beena007.com. And otherwise, thank you for listening.